It's amazing how little reference it actually gets in the Bible. And you know, trees are one of those things. If we look around us, we see trees all around us. There's trees. We use tree wood to build the buildings we live in. There's trees that provide us food. We're told by scientists that trees clean the air. They provide us air to breathe. And the tree of life was in the garden to start, but for some reason, it's not found that often in the Bible. It's only directly mentioned in Genesis 2, Genesis 3, Proverbs 3, Proverbs 11, Revelation 2, and Revelation 22. So just five chapters of the Bible talk about the tree of life. So I would like to start off in Revelation 22. Revelation chapter 22, starting in verse 12. And behold, this is Jesus speaking, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates of the city. And then drop it on down to verse 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in the book. What we see here, the tree of life is a reward. Now it started out in the garden. And we will be jumping next to Genesis chapter 2 if you want to go ahead and kind of turn that way. But the tree of life started out in the garden. But it's part of the reward that we're all going to have when we get to heaven. And so I would like for us to just take a look at what we know about the tree of life. Do we have any idea of what its fruit was like? Do we even know if Adam and Eve ever actually partook of it? We have no record of that. We know it was in the garden. We know it was one of the trees that they could have partaken of. It was not forbidden them. And yet, it is a tree we know very little about. Other than, as we will read, it'll allow a man to live forever. So I'd like to go ahead and look at Genesis chapter 2. Look at it, verses 8 and 9. And the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man who he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. One of the first things that struck me was, so here's the first mention we have. It's mentioned right after trees that were good for food. As the tree of life is mentioned. And it's mentioned it was in the center of the garden. And I can only imagine it was right next to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which was also in the center of the garden. So I find it interesting that from the very beginning, the Lord, he put a choice of restriction to man, said, here's a tree that I'm going to put some restrictions on. You can't eat of this one. Here's this wonderful, beautiful promise. This is the tree of life, and you're allowed to eat of it. And the sad thing is, what do we have record of? We have record of eating from the wrong tree. And so I was curious, the tree of life, why didn't it seem appealing? If those of us here today could get our hands on the tree of life, to live forever in a holy state, wouldn't we have wanted that? To not have to deal with sin and death and everything else? But it's an interesting thought, if you think about it, that this tree was put right there, as far as we can tell, next to the forbidden fruit. So the next place it's mentioned is Genesis chapter 3, in verse 22 starting. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from thence he was taken. So he drove out the man and placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now this is the last mention we have. The first mention was he planted the tree. And the last mention we have was that God was forbidding man now from partaking of this fruit. And there's been some speculation. You know, was it just a tree that if you ate of it, your body would rejuvenate for a while and you'd need to go to the tree and eat again? Was that the reason why God put man out of the garden so he couldn't just stay there by the tree? Or was it a tree that truly, if you ate of that fruit, you would live forever from the one eating? I personally don't think it matters whichever way. The thing that I think is wise on God's part is he didn't want man to live forever in that fallen state. So God took that tree and said, you know what? I had given you this tree. I had not restricted it from you. But now that you've erred, I'm going to take this tree and I'm going to remove it from you. So the next place the tree is mentioned is in Proverbs. And I find this rather interesting. It's Proverbs chapter 3. And starting in verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. And I find it interesting here that we have wisdom and understanding referred to as a tree of life. If we grasp and hold on to it. And now part of my mind goes back to the two trees. We had a tree of knowledge of good and evil. And now I'm going to put some of my thoughts on this. And what was the other tree? Maybe the tree of wisdom and understanding? And yet we chose the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We turned away from wisdom and understanding. You know, the world is full of knowledge, isn't it? Even today, the world is full of knowledge. They learn things. They put things together. They're constantly learning. But to what avail? Where's the wisdom? You know, we figured out how to split an atom that would generate lots of energy. But the first thing we did with it was use it to blow up a city. Instead of using it to generate power and peaceful means. That didn't happen until lots later. When I look at that, I sometimes wonder, especially here with wisdom and understanding being referred to as a tree of life, if there was more to that tree of life in the garden than we understand. Because I also find, if you keep reading there in 3 and 19, it says, "The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens, and by his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck." Wouldn't life to your soul be something that you would expect the tree of life to give you? So I find it interesting here that we have from this tree of life symbolically mentioned here that it's based on wisdom and understanding. Man didn't show wisdom when he disobeyed God, did he? He chose the other tree. There's no wisdom in that. You were told, this tree will get you death. This tree will bring you hurt. This tree will bring you harm. Yet he chose the tree. He turned away from the other one. I'd now like to move on to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30. The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Now, I thought about this one. The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life. Now, we all want righteousness in our lives, correct? We would like to have the fruit of righteousness in our lives. And I find it interesting. It talks about he that winneth souls is wise. If you're wise and you win a soul, haven't you introduced that soul to the ability to obtain the tree of life? Not just figuratively, but in the end, they will actually have access to that tree of life. Even in Ephesians 5, and we're not going to turn to it, Ephesians 5 talks a lot about the fruits of righteousness. And one of the things it talked about was the fruits of righteousness would be used to reprove those in error, to help people wake up that were asleep or dead spiritually, and also used to redeem the time wisely and to give understanding of the will of the Lord. So once again, we see the reference of the tree of life tied back to wisdom and understanding of God, something that was not exhibited back in the garden. I also want to look at Proverbs 13. And verse 12, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Once again, this is a very small verse, but when you hope for something and it's been withheld for a while and then you get it, doesn't it just seem to invigorate you even more so than just the one item? I know as a young man, wanting a car so you can go get a job, so you can do things, and finally getting a car, there was a lot of excitement. It suddenly felt like life had all kinds of possibilities. Truth of the matter was, I was restricted on where I could drive it, what I could do. I was to only drive it to and from work. I was to only drive it between certain hours. I couldn't, you know, take bunches of friends and go running around. But when I got that hope turned to reality, for me, the possibilities expanded. But I also like to think about our lives with God. Have you ever dealt with long hours of prayer? And then you get the answer? You've been praying for something, and then suddenly the Lord gives it to you, and you feel like that just that hope spring up in you? Or you've been praying for a loved one that was in sin, and they get saved. And suddenly you see the hope there, the life. Or you have something, a need. I mean, we've all physical needs, temporal needs. We pray about those and the Lord answers. And the blessing it gives us. Don't these things draw us closer to Christ? Don't they help our understanding of how we need Him even more? Help us draw closer to that tree of life? Now I'd like to move to Revelations chapter 2. And start looking at the promise here. Revelations chapter 2, verse 7. This is when they had been talking to the church at Ephesus. It says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now, one of the things I found intriguing here, once again, we see the tree of life in the midst. It's in the center. We had it in the center of the garden. It was given to man. Now it's going to be given to those that are successfully making it to heaven. It's going to be in the midst of the garden for those that overcome. I want to flip back to Revelation 22. There's another scripture in there I want to read. Revelation 22, verses 1 and 2. And he showed me a river, a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healings of the nations. Now this language is actually echoed in Ezekiel 47 and 12, where it says, and by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. So once again, we're seeing here the promise of this tree of life. that it's going to be in the midst of that city. The tree of life that we were not allowed and still have not been allowed to partake of. We're going to get to partake of it again. It's going to heal everything. I find it interesting that it's bearing fruits for meat, leaves for healing. But it's also by the water of life, by the river that flows out of the throne. Can you think of a more precious place to be for eternity? You're going to have water that will truly quench every thirst you ever have. You're going to have a tree that will heal anything that could ever be wrong with you. And that same tree will provide you food and sustenance. Why wouldn't we be able to live forever then with the good Lord? The challenge I want us to think on tonight is I know there's not a whole lot on this tree of life. But it seems to have been one of the centerpieces of the garden. The one we should have chosen. And based on what we have here, it's the centerpiece in heaven. Something we should be looking forward to. But the only way we're going to get there, the only way we'll partake of it, is if we exercise that wisdom and understanding that God wants us to have. And not the wisdom or knowledge that comes from the Word, from the world. We have to be victorious. We have to be an overcomer. We have to be washed and cleaned. The world would rather us not do these things. People in the world will tell you that when you die, it's over. You just get cold and you decay. And your particles go back into the ground and they break down into elements. And eventually those elements are reused by other plants or ate by earthworms, whatever the case may be. And there's nothing beyond that. Live while you're here. I would say the world looks at that because they're still focused on the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They're still focused on the tree that brought death. The tree that did not bring us the hope and salvation that man thought it would be. Man in his wisdom looked at that tree and said, you know what? If I eat of that tree, I will be like God. How far have we ended up from God from eating of that tree? If we will partake of the wisdom and understanding that the Lord has for us, you know we will be able to eat of that tree that will truly make us like God, that will make us eternal beings like He is. But to do it, He wants us to show to Him that we're willing to submit to His understanding and His wisdom. Y'all pray for me.